Why do y'all make me follow that? I can't do it. Can't do it. I can't follow that. I want you to know how thankful I am to be here. And how thankful I am of this congregation. This congregation is a great congregation. We are going the right direction. We are doing the right things. And God is blessing us. Every day, I see how much God is blessing us. And I am thankful for it. I see the Holy Spirit move through this congregation, and I am thankful for it.
Amen.
And if you're not seeing those things, you need to check your eyes, get some different glasses, do something, because I can promise you it's happening here. Thank you so much for your desire to learn, your desire to study, your desire to grow as Christians. Thank you so much for your desire to be here to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God the Father of all.
Amen.
I want to talk to you this morning about grace. The main reason I want to talk to you about grace is because grace is often misunderstood. Grace is often misquoted. Grace is often used to denounce other things that we must do. For example, have you ever heard this? That God loves us so much that He would never send anybody to hell. Have y'all heard that? Okay. Well, they're right. God does love us so much He'll never send anybody to hell. He doesn't send anybody. It is our choice. It's our choice whether to go to heaven or to go to hell. It is our choice to accept the free gift of grace or to reject it. It has always been our choice from the time of Adam and Eve in the garden. Because like I like to point out, there wasn't just one tree in the garden. There was two. And the one that we don't hear about too often is the tree that gave eternal life. Jesus died on that tree. That tree again is mentioned in the book of Revelation as being in heaven. The tree that we eat from, which gives eternal life. And so remember, there were two trees, two options always given to those individuals. Have you ever heard this also? That you can't get grace. That grace is a free gift and it's given to all people, all times, and therefore everyone is forgiven of their sins always. Have you heard anything like that? Well, they're right in that grace is a free gift. But like all gifts, that gift has to be accepted. Just like all gifts, that gift has to be accepted. Has anybody ever taken you out to eat and say that they're going to pick up the check? Yeah. They often say that to me because I'm fumbling around and say, well, I forgot my wallet. Then they say, well, I'll get it. Well, thank you very much. I'll get the next one. Yeah. Y'all have heard that before. The grace is something we can't earn. So therefore, what they do is they denounce all works, all acts of faith. Folks, grace is a free gift. It is something that is given to us by God. But the problem is that it is a gift we must put on. It is a gift we must accept. Because if we don't accept that gift, if we don't put that gift on, then it's useless to us. We cannot obtain it without faith. And so I'm going to get into that here in just a minute. But I want to start out in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. And I want to read to you exactly what it says there, what Paul is telling the churches in Rome. He starts out by saying this: "For while we were still helpless," and I like other versions better. The King James Version, I believe, says, "While we were yet sinners." I like that version better because, here's the key, while we weren't worthy. Catch that. While we weren't worthy. While it was not because of something we earned, but rather it was something that was given to us, when we weren't worthy, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Who is that? If you don't think Christ died for you, then you don't know God. If you don't think Christ died for you, then you don't know Jesus Christ. Make it personal. If you've ever watched the movie The Passion, which I watched one time, did not want to watch it again, because it was so powerful, and I want you to know it was so good. If you've not watched it, it's probably a pretty good thing for you to watch. But I'm telling you this because there's a scene in that movie where they're hammering the nails into Jesus' hand. And the hand that is holding the nail, holding the hammer, and driving it through Jesus' hand is Mel Gibson's hand. Now, Mel Gibson is not in the movie. He produced the movie. But he said, "It was me. It was because of me that Jesus died on that cross." And we can blame the Jewish people all we want to. We can blame the Roman people all we want to. We can blame anybody else you want to blame. But let me tell you something. It's because of you that Jesus died on that cross. It's because of me that Jesus died on that cross. Because none of us are worthy of the gift that God has given us. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For one would hardly die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love towards us. We like to quote John 3:16, don't we? But we quote it without thinking about what that meant. That God so loved us. He so loved you. Even though Jesus went to the cross because of your sins and my sins, realize God loved you so much that He wants you to be in heaven with Him for all eternity. Much more, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, verse 9. Then having now been justified by His blood. How are we justified? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. How are our sins washed away? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other way that our sins can be taken away except by the blood of Jesus Christ, because He died for us while we were yet sinners. Amen. Having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. I've told y'all this before, and some of you kind of looked at me funny when I said it, But it's true. I don't fear God anymore. I don't fear His wrath. I don't. You know why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ saved me from it. Amen. That's why I don't have to fear. I don't have to fear the wrath to come. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ saves me from it. And I know that because I put Jesus Christ on in baptism. That blood cleanses me of all my sins. And therefore, when I stand before God in judgment, all He will see is my spotless robe, which comes from Jesus Christ. No spot, no blemish. And I will hear, "Well done, my good and faithful sinner." Or my good and faithful servant. Hey, it works both ways. I'm so glad I can mess up so y'all can laugh at me. Good and faithful servant. Folks, those are the words I want to hear. Those are the words that we want to hear together. Those are the words that we want to stand together in perfect unity with God. It's because of the grace of God that we have been forgiven. Now I want to ask this question. How much have you been forgiven? Do you know? Because I want you to know, I don't think I know. I don't think I do. Because I read a verse back years ago, and I've told y'all this before, that opened my eyes, and it was Romans chapter 3, verse 23. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says these words. I'll get this one right. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." What does it mean to come short of God's glory? That means not acting the way He would want us to act. And there are lots of times in our lives that we don't act the way that we're supposed to act. And I realize there are times in my life when I have not acted the way that I was supposed to act. Somebody pulls out in front of you in the car, you know, and you don't act the way that you're supposed to act. And I told you the story about the guy that passed me one time, and I didn't know what I had done wrong, and he gave me the high sign, you know, the year number one sign. Y'all remember that? And then I looked at him and I go, I love that story. Because as I told you before, his girlfriend sitting next to him started laughing. So I love that. I don't think he laughed very much, but she did. So that was a good thing. But realize there are lots of times in our lives that we fall short. And so folks, I really don't know how much I have really truly been forgiven. And I don't think you do either. I think you will be astonished at how short you were and how much God's grace lifted you above that. I think you will be astonished. Because when we see Jesus Christ for the first time, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. Amen. And the reason why every knee will bow and every tongue will confess is because we will realize at that point how unworthy we truly are. But we will also realize how worthy He truly is. Folks, that's a day that I look forward to. Amen. That's a day that I hope for. That's the day that joy will begin and will never end forever. So my question is, how much have you forgiven? Look at this definition of grace. Many of you have seen this definition before, but I put it up there so that you will have a good working definition of grace. Now, this is not in the Bible. This is what people have said. This is what this means. Okay? It says, favor or kindness shown without regard to the worth or merit of the one who receives it. We receive it without worth and without merit, and in spite of what we deserve. What do we deserve? The wages of sin is what? That's what we deserve. Because all have sinned, correct? So therefore, if all of us have sinned, then what we deserve is punishment for that sin. We don't deserve unmerited favor. We don't deserve forgiveness. So therefore, grace is a gift that is given to us by God. This is an attribute from God. His forgiveness, His grace, His love for us is an attribute. And I've got up there Exodus 34:6, which says that the Lord God is compassionate and merciful. Thank you, God, for that. Compassionate and merciful. Without His mercy, I would be lost. Without His compassion for us, He would not have sent His Son. He is compassionate and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in faithfulness and truth. But not only is this an attribute of God, look at this. This is an attribute of the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of grace. May the Spirit of grace dwell in you always. Grace and forgiveness is within us. And how do we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? Baptism. Acts 2:38. We receive that gift when we are baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the remission of sin. Amen. Acts 2:38. We receive that spirit of grace, that spirit of forgiveness. It is given to us at that point. But notice how I say that. It's given to us at that point. We don't receive it before. Because even though it's a free gift, even though it's a gift that's given to you, remember, you have to pick it up. You have to put it on. It has to be accepted before you can get it. Grace goes with faith. Grace is realized to us through Jesus Christ. And I want to say this because this is really important for you to get the perfect idea. People have asked me many times, how do you define grace? And I have a two-word answer. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is grace. It is grace manifested through God the Father. He sent it down to us so that we may receive eternal life. Without it, we cannot get it. Without grace, there is no eternal life. Because again, what we need is punishment. But the only way that we can get eternal life is through the grace of God. And that grace of God is manifested through His Son, Jesus Christ. We believe that we are saved through grace. Grace is received through Jesus Christ by picking it up, putting it on, letting it become a part of us. That's where grace comes from. And because of that, we have eternal life. If it wasn't for God's grace and forgiveness, all we'd have is punishment. Heaven would be a lonely place. But because of grace and forgiveness, as the promise given to Abraham, his seed would be uncountable as the sands of the sea. Heaven will be filled because of the grace of God that came to us through Jesus Christ. This is where salvation comes. Through the grace of God, salvation comes to all people of all time. Those who were before Jesus and those who have come after. Because of grace, salvation comes to all people. Because God loved you. Because the love of God. Now, this is where a lot of people kind of get mixed up. Because yes, grace cannot be earned. I cannot do so much that I earn grace. I know when I was growing up, back in 1906, there were a lot of people that basically taught that you had to earn your way into heaven. There was a lot of that. Those of you who are my age, around my age, a little older, y'all remember some of that teaching. And I want you to know that teaching is incorrect. Because no matter if you have committed one sin, you told one little white lie, that one little white lie will keep you out of heaven without grace. One little white lie. I had an individual one time that was just furious with me. I may have told you all this story, I don't know if I have or not, but you're going to hear it again. She came in my office with her son in tow. This was when I was a high school principal. And she was furious with me because I had sent her son home for 3 days. Because her son was not acting the way in which I thought he should be acting. Her son never acted the way I thought he should be acting, but in this point, I sent him home for 3 days. Well, Mama was furious. And she came dragging her son into my office. And she said to me that my son did not do what you said he did because he told me he didn't do it. And my son has never lied to me. And I looked at her and I said to her, I said, well, I said, did you ever lie to your parents to keep yourself out of trouble? No, I never did. And I'm going, yeah, right. No, I never did. And I said, well, your son's lying to you now because I was the one that saw him do it. And therefore, I was the one that brought him into my office. I was the one that kicked him out of school for 3 days. So you can have your choice. He can stay home for 3 days or he can stay home for 10 days. It doesn't matter to me. And she got up and grabbed her son and out the door she went. But I tell you that story because all of us have told little white lies. Well, did you know a little white lie will keep you out of heaven if you don't have Jesus Christ? Because that white garment that you put on would not be white. Realize exactly what we're talking about. No, I can't earn grace. I cannot earn salvation. It's not what I did. It's what Jesus Christ did for me. That's how salvation comes. So therefore, we can't boast about it being of ourselves. And as Paul says, I boast in nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When I talk about the Spirit coming through this congregation and I'm seeing this congregation being moved in the Spirit and things going the way that I think and I think God would have them to go is happening right now. Amen. I take zero credit. 100% of the credit goes to God the Father. Amen. It is Him that is using us to further His Word. And I am thankful for that. But I'm really thankful that He has opened my eyes enough to where I can see it happening. And the good that's taking place. And we need to continue to work in that manner. Amen. There are people that are sitting in this audience today that were baptized this week. Because of God. Because of Jesus Christ. Because of the grace that comes down upon us. Now, remember, grace is a free gift. It is given to all of us. But we have to accept it. So it says right there, for this reason, it is by faith in order that you may be in accordance with grace. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 tells us this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Belief in God is the first act of faith. Amen. But there's more to it. It doesn't stop there. We must put on Jesus Christ in baptism. That too is an act of faith. We must walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. In 1 John chapter 1, that too is an act of faith. We must turn away from temptation and resist Satan. That too is an act of faith. When we tell others about the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that is an act of faith. Folks, faith is a requirement to receive grace. Without the faith, there can be no grace. Without the action, there can be no reaction. Faith comes by hearing. But realize this, grace comes through faith. I'm leaving you with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, which tells us this, I labor even more than all of them. Now that's Paul talking, that's not me, that's Paul. Paul is saying he labored more than all the others. You know why? Because he realized how much he'd been forgiven, how much grace he had received. He realized what God had done for him through Jesus Christ. And so therefore he labored all the more because he realized what had happened. John the Apostle was the same way. He wouldn't call himself by name in his own book that he wrote, but rather he called himself what? The disciple whom Jesus loved. Why did he say that? Because he understood what he had been forgiven. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you today, we need to take a step back and realize just how much you have been forgiven. We need to pray that we remember often the grace that comes to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And when we partake of these emblems each and every Sunday morning, we need to remember what they are. They're the grace of God that's come down to us. Amen. The body and the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sins. There are people still in this audience today that have not yet put on Jesus Christ in baptism. There are people in this audience today that have not yet received the grace and forgiveness that is offered to us by God. Don't you think it's time? Don't you think we need to do it? The invitation is for you. Come, take part in God's grace while we stand and while we sing.